we're working there. Like I said, we get a lot of rest.
It's New England.
Yeah, exactly. New England. In Green Bay, it was like more in between. What's up,
What's
man?
What's up with it? All good.
Great to meet you, man.
Sure.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
How much you weigh?
205.
205.
Yeah.
That's what you normally play at?
Yeah, 20, usually like 203, 205. I came in the league 216.
Right. But the college workouts, though.
College workouts, I thought I needed to be the biggest dude.
Right.
I still look big as hell in the uniform.
Yeah,
so
yeah, you are,
you know what I'm saying?
And you're tall, too, though.
Yeah.
Right, you know what I'm saying? They say you used to baby hoop a little bit.
Man, look, I'm a hooper, for real. I just figured this football thing out a little late. You know what I'm saying?
Look up T. Higgins High School basketball highlights.
Boy. He went crazy?
Oh, my God.
I know the boy looked like a hooper. Hey. The way he moved, like, yeah. You always know. You can see it.
North Carolina.
Yeah, he got North Carolina, Michigan, all of them.
How tall is that boy? Like
6'5", coach.
See, if I was 6'5", y'all would have never met me.
Ooh, money.
What's good? Sorry for the wait.
Baby.
Yes, sir.
Oh, look, brother.
It's on your time.
You know, you were fake working out now anyway. It's training camp.
Yeah, no, I was moving big weight.
It's training camp.
Money.
Oh, shit.
You're fake working out, man.
Yeah.
How you feeling, man?
Feel good, man.
Good.
Feel real good.
We saw you out there dopping their ass.
You see?
Yeah.
What
like
do?
Today, too, for real. Like, I ain't see a whole bunch of balls today, but.
Yeah.
That's how it be.
Them one-on-one, we feeling sorry.
Oh, you saw that?
Yeah, we were feeling sorry for the DB. I don't even know the DB's names. I'd be like, uh-oh.
Right, I'm like, especially we ain't got the names on there.
But you ain't gonna win it with him, though. One-on-ones?
But they think they gonna win, but
one-on-one is tough, man.
I don't think they think that. I don't think I haven't won one, like, the whole time. I think I won every single one-on-one so far.
You supposed to, though.
Yeah.
You're the best in the world. Like, and Michael Jordan playing one-on-one, I expect him to score.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? No help defense.
Yeah, like, you go eat.
Hold up. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On the mission, got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. On the vision, I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On the mission, got me up. First off, man, thank you for the time. We understand what it's like in training camp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But welcome to the Pivot. All the subscribers, obviously you know who this man is, Devontae Adams. We want you to subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Apple. Make sure you like. And like we said, man, this is the training camp tour. There's a lot of other podcasts, but they aren't us. Anybody can podcast, but not everybody can pivot. And so, man, we're going to jump right into it because we know you have a lot of time. Obviously, every time we come into this show, I'm like, okay, what's the one thing that I could talk to somebody about that they don't get from ESPN, NFL Network? And I know you've told this story, but being from the South, which all three of us are, California is a different place for us.
Yeah.
And you make a huge distinction in your life of telling people you're from East Palo Alto, not Palo Alto.
Yeah.
Why is that so important to you?
Well, I don't know if you ever heard the example that I use, but it's close in proximity, but it's two different cities. I mean, it's like in Lion King, you got Pride Rock, and then you got the Elephant Graveyard right there on top of each other, but it's a whole different world. So I just like to, you know what I'm saying? And I'm proud of where I'm from, too, you know?
So, from the Elephant Graveyard?
Yeah, I'm from the Elephant Graveyard, man. I mean, I'm proud of where I'm from. I'm not proud of stuff that, you know, contributes to the reason why it's not the same, but it is what it is, and I stand on, you know, where I'm from.
You know, a lot of that has built up who you are, and obviously we see the skill, right? And we see how talented you are, how you understand leverages, how you understand stems, defenses, all of those things. I was reading something about your mom. Your mom's name's Pamela, right? And how you her baby.
Yeah.
You know, and it said in, I think it was 2015, you guys were together and you told her that you hated football.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that was a tough time for you after, what was it, 1700 in your last year, 24 tubs, all those things, and you were going through it, not getting the football. Yeah. What was that time like and how did she help you through it?
I mean, that time, that was a dark time. That was probably the lowest point that I've had in my, well, not probably, definitely was the lowest point, you know, because not everything went according to plan, like early on. You know, I didn't play football till my junior year. You know, we talked about that. At the level, the NFL level, you know, when you make mistakes or, you know, you come in as a higher draft pick, everything is magnified way more, you know, when you do make mistakes. And then, you know, that was the year Jordy hurt his knee. So I was kind of thrusted into that number one, or, you know, me and Cobb were both kind of like the one. I was outside. But I got kind of thrusted into that role, and you know, there's a lot of expectations, which I was fine with all of that. You know, I don't think too much about that type of stuff. But getting hurt, you know, the second game of the year, and having that linger throughout the whole time, and then you know, having a bunch of drops and stuff like that. Not that I let that go to my head, but it was just, you know, when the mistakes start to compound and you're a young player, it's hard to deal with, you know, some of that stuff if you don't have your mind all the way right. And I didn't, you know, it was hard for me to bounce back. And, you know, I had a very down year. You know, I didn't score to the last game of the season against the Lions. And we know that's not how the scope of things, you know, at this point. So it's a lot different now. And, you know, I was able to come out of that just because my circle, my mom was in my corner, my dad same way. And people always ask, you know, how was Jordy? How was Randall in that? It's the best answer I could give is I feel like they were exactly how they should be. They saw the way I worked. They knew the type of player I was. So every day was like a normal day. It wasn't like, oh, let's try to pick Tay up. Like, right. They already knew, you know, the type of dude that I was. So they just wanted me to kind of organically get my confidence back. And then, you know, it took until that next year, unfortunately, you know, to get back to where I really felt like me. But, you know, when you have injuries and stuff like that, end up behind the ball, you know, you're on Thanksgiving Day and you got three drops, you know, in critical moments. It was raining and stuff like that. You know, it's just a lot of things that go into it. But it can be a lot for a young dude. So I had a lot of comfort from my inner circle that kind of got me back on track.
Getting past that threshold, though, that's interesting, though, because, bro, you a dog. You in my top three. I won't tell you my top three, but.
Top three.
You talking about that? Don't start this.
You in my top three.
Players?
Receivers. you want to go players now. You in my top 10.
Oh, damn. Okay.
This is what he do now.
Yeah. No, I talk shit.
That's fine.
But, bro, just hearing you, like, when I was hearing you talk about that, it's so interesting. Is there a threshold? Like, did you know you was out of that funk? Because we talked to T. Higgins.
Yeah.
And he was talking about the mental stuff, you know what I'm saying? Like it was a time where he had to deal with that stuff. Like, you're one of the best receivers in the world.
He's the best receiver in the world.
Yeah, you was about to say it, and then you switched it up because he had to stick with it. I guess good. Go ahead.
You're one of the best receivers in the world. But, like, do you know when it clicks? Like, do you wake up one morning? Like, just hearing you talk about a thing, like, when is that not on your mind no more?
I mean, going into that first game in 2016, I had a moment and everybody was laughing because I had a touchdown right before the half. So we went in and doubled up. So we scored right before, a couple seconds before the half. And I had a lame-ass celebration because it was just pure passion. Like, y'all saying, I had one touchdown all year, the year before that. So I bounced back and I catch one on the right side where I had to, like, dive. It was an and-one and everything. And I slammed the ball, had the most just lame spike. And I'm pointing at the back of my jersey trying to remind people, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm really him. Like, you know what I'm saying? I had a little off time, but I'm back. Yeah. But that was just the passion. I think that was the moment when I made that play. It was a difficult play. I hurt my knee in the playoff game against the Redskins. That was the last game that I was able to play in 2015. So I couldn't really use that game where everything was kind of doing this and then I get hurt. So that was kind of my moment where I was like, all right, I'm back. And then, you know, ran off and had 12 tugs that year, and then it was, you know what I'm saying, I knew what the deal was.
That's crazy. You was a redshirt freshman in college, 2011, drafted 2014, right?
Yep.
The ninth receiver selected.
Ninth one.
I can tell you,
everyone.
I was going to say top three, but I was going to go on record and say you are number one in my book.
I don't know what
Chan talking about.
None of us do.
Being the ninth receiver selected, is that an extra sense of motivation? Has that been extra sense of motivation for you?
It was early, but I'm telling you at this point, like, all my motivation comes from within. Like, you know, it's nothing that Chan could say, you know what I'm saying? It's nothing that, I mean, it's a couple people, I don't even want to put their name out there, I don't even want to give them that juice, but it's, you know, it's listen, this and that, people say what they say, but at this point, that stuff don't even fire me up no more. Like, it's all about me. I don't really care about the, you know, the list and all of that, like ranking people, like, I didn't know if y'all was gonna have me rank receivers today, but if I was to rank them, then I wouldn't even put me in there, because at this point.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
You know, and this is just pure confidence and believing in myself and knowing where I am in my game, you know, today. Like, to me, it's not even a question of whether or not I gotta, like, say if I'm the best receiver in the league. Like, I just let the tape speak. I go out there and I'm more consistent than anybody. I'm more dialed in than anybody, and I don't let no big moments get past me, you know, and I know the type of player that I am and the way that I attack the game mentally now. So I could rank receivers and all of that, but I'll go ahead and, you know, put everybody else out there just so I get more names included, because it's so many dudes, and it's damn near impossible to even make top five today. I mean, it's because things change, but like I said, with the difference between, I feel like, myself and other people is that it haven't really changed for a while, like, as far as, you know what I mean, people talking about, you know what I mean, over the course of however many years you want to say, but, you know, I'm real confident in myself and what I bring to the game, so at this point, that type of stuff, you know, the ninth receiver, I came in definitely with a chip on my shoulder because of stuff like that. You know, I did what I did numbers-wise, and I felt like I showed, you know, the world that, you know, I was the best or one of the best, you know, receivers coming out. So to be drafted the ninth receiver overall, I thought that it was foolish. But, you know, at this point, right, that stuff don't
control.
Yeah, it don't really motivate me no more.
You just did an interview. Well, during your departure, you spoke about your decision leaving Green Bay.
Yeah.
And you said, you were quoted as saying, I have aspirations on doing a really big thing and being remembered. Mm-hmm. What are some of those aspirations?
I mean, I want to be in that hall, man. It's only 29 in my position in there. And I think about that. I got that on my alarm clock when I wake up. Go get it for your girls and /29 in there, right, just to remind me every day.
When did you start thinking about the Hall of Fame? Because for me, I never thought about it.
Yeah.
I never thought about a 10,000-yard club, none of that.
Yeah.
But at some point, when they say it's close, I said, oh, I got to go get it. When did you start thinking about that?
You know what? I don't even know, honestly. I don't even know when it, like, the year was or whatever, but it's always been a goal. You know what I mean? When you're a guy and you got a lot of confidence in what you bring to the game, you know, I'm sure you thought about it like it'd be cool to be in there, and that's the way I thought about it, you know what I'm saying? But I say maybe over the past like couple years, like when I fully understood, it wasn't even about the resume. It was really just about, I know the type of ball I'm playing right now, and, you know, why not? Like, Marshall Faulk was just Marshall Faulk, you know, when he started, we all had 0-0-0 across. Yeah. So, and these dudes get in, and, you know what I mean, Randy Moss, like, everybody, like, you come in at different levels, obviously, but if you got zero stats, it don't matter what your name was before. So they don't discriminate. They going to let whoever in there that put together the best resume. So, you know, I figure if I am where I am right now and I know I can continue to build, that I, you know, I got a chance.
But
so
you're not a diva.
Nah.
But great receivers are divas. Like, they, I ain't never said that, bro. You're not a diva. Like,
nah, man, I'm low key.
Not, like, why not though?
Because, I mean, I feel like a lot of dudes wasn't like that. Like, they wasn't divas their whole life. They turned into that because they felt like that's who they're supposed to be because they on top. But for me, I got to this point in my career, in my game, in my life, by being who I am. And, you know, I'm not the type of dude, I don't go link with a bunch of NFL players in the offseason. Like, when I take trips, I'm with my homies that I went to high school with, you know, middle school, people I grew up with. It's guys that's teammates and stuff like that, that, like, you hear me talking about being organic. Like, that's me. Like, I'm gonna go kick it with, you know what I mean, the long snapper and go out to, you know, go to the casino or something before I go kick it with just a big name receiver in the league. Like, unless we got a genuine, you know what I mean, relationship or bond or whatever, we really connected. Like, I got a couple guys like that, but for the most part, like, I'm just low key, man. I stick to my guns and just be me.
I was with my homeboy Joe Witt, you know, we texted about it this weekend, and I was just asking about you, and he said he had to do a presentation when he was in Green Bay where he graded the wide receivers on the team.
Yeah.
And this was, Jordy was still there, and he was like, Devontae's the best receiver, and here's why.
Yeah.
And obviously, it ends up being right, but he said, I don't know if this is true, but he said that y'all were at Micah Hyde's wedding, right? And they're having a conversation. This is when Julio was balling, AB was balling. They were talking about the best receivers and all those things.
Right.
And that you said, if y'all on a clip by clip or something, that if you had to throw one football, and if that football wasn't caught, they were gonna throw us off this cliff, they better throw it to me. You know what I mean? And so, like, when I hear that type of confidence, I think you can't help but, when you combine that with hard work, end up being where you are. A lot of what's been attributed to, not a lot of, but some of what's been attributed to your success was the quarterback you got to play with your entire life or your entire career. And now you leave and you said, I'm going from one Hall of Famer to another. But what was that experience like being with somebody as talented, obviously a future first ballot Hall of Famer in Aaron Rodgers?
It was amazing, man. I mean, you know, I don't discount anything, you know, that Aaron was able to do for me because, I mean, he's the best quarterback, you know, in my opinion, to play this game. I think a lot of what he did for me was not just about the type of balls or whatever that he threw, you know, great back shoulder, whatever. Like, there was obviously that, but the way that he had the Michael Jordan effect as far as, like, he gonna make you play better. He gonna bring out your best just by being on the field. It's not even about like he was a great leader, but it was more so just about I'm out here with Aaron Rodgers. Like you would always notice in OTAs, like, you know, every now and then a guy that's in his 15th year at that point or whatever, they get days off in OTAs, so it'd be times where he wasn't practicing and you would just notice people start to like not fall off, not practicing hard, but it wasn't the same as when Aaron is out there. Like he, like you don't even think about it. You know what I'm saying? It's like somebody doing something versus like with nobody watching them type thing. You know, you obviously gonna run a little harder. Your coach watching you, so it was kind of that type of effect. And he made me a better player out of that because the consistency came from that. And then I just try to build on that. And like I said, obviously the football and the arm strength and stuff was a big part of it. But yeah, he made me a better player just by his presence.
October 2nd, 2014, you scored your first NFL touchdown. Mm-hmm. In the same time, that was Aaron's 200 TD pass. Mm-hmm. Who kept the ball? Who got the ball?
He let me keep that one.
For sure.
He let me keep that
did
one.
Did he sign it?
He did. I don't even think I asked him to sign it, for real. I just wanted to keep it. I don't know. But he let me have that one. So I made sure I gave him the 400. I guess 100, James Jones threw into the crowd.
Right.
200 he gave to me, so he didn't have any one of those. And 300, I don't remember who got it, but then 4, I was remember being on the left side, caught one, went a stiff arm dude, and then went straight to him, presented it to him and everything, just because I remember about the, you know, that number 200 that he let me keep.
Yeah, bro, the like you said, drafted to Green Bay, and I always party. When I play, when I go to a city, as soon as we get to the city, I will drop my bag off and go to a strip club. And I wanted to see what the city had to offer. That's why I'm a Hall of Fame. I'm not even thinking about Hall of Fame because it's probably a part of it, bro.
Maybe.
You're in Green Bay and you go to Vegas.
Yeah.
And you see my eyes red right now because we've been in Vegas too long. I ain't go to bed till 5 a.m. because it's Vegas.
Yeah.
What's the difference between playing in Green Bay and now you're in Las Vegas?
Yeah.
Like, how big is that difference?
I mean, it's a difference because you got more at your disposal. But I'm not a big strip club dude, especially not during no camp and all of that. So
yeah.
I'm not taking advantage of that type of stuff. But it's a lot of stuff, you know, that I'm able to do here that I probably couldn't do in Green Bay. You know, like I couldn't go in public a whole lot in Green Bay just based on, you know, it's a real small community. It's not really built, like even the restaurants you can go to, it's not really built for having like, you know, quote-unquote superstars that, you know, I can't just go sit in the middle of a restaurant like the same way that I could, you know, my first couple years in the league. Like, it's a difference, especially in the city you play in. So to be able to go take advantage and have my whole family, let my daughters run around and do their thing and have a little private room eating and stuff like that, that's the type of stuff I'm doing. I'm not, I ain't really getting it in the way you get it in.
No, bro, I got kids too.
Yeah.
I got kids and we go out as a family, but then I also go out as a grown up.
I might go to the casino and do something where it's a private type deal, but everything I like to do, like I said, I'm low key. I don't really like people knowing what I'm up to and, you know, I'm not really up to a whole lot of bad stuff either way, but if I do something, I try to keep it on the low.
Chan, see, the difference is this, Chan, also, what you missed, right?
You're about to hurt, he's about to hurt my feelings.
No, I'm not about to hurt the feelings. What I'm gonna say is this, the man said everything he does, he gets a private room. When they give you 125, right? You can do that. You can get a private room everywhere you go. See, you
got 140.
My bad.
141.25.
I'm sorry. So therein tells you.
My lid.
But speaking of that, you know, I was talking about the deal and now being here. You know, you mentioned that is closer to family.
Mm-hmm.
You can have that. But also part of your family has been Derek Carr. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you guys play at Fresno State together. And I had an opportunity to rank the AFC West offensive skill players. And I put the Raiders first. obviously because of you, but Hunter, Darren is an alien, mm-hmm. and I believe that Derek is underrated.
Extremely.
From a talent standpoint. Mm-hmm. I think he is a top 10 talent at the position. When you look at where you guys are this year, and now the expectations that start once you become a part of the team, what is your outlook for the Las Vegas Raiders in 2022?
Well, I mean, as far as expectations, I don't really have any, but as far as goals, I mean, it is no surprise. I mean, you know what the deal is. You know, that's what every team sets out with the same goal, you know, in the end. So we obviously got that in our back pocket, and we got the roster to be able to do something special like that. But at the end of the day, if we don't go out there and really do something about it and practice the way we're practicing right now, you know, be extremely hard on ourselves, because that's one thing about me. Like, I'm gonna come in after every single game and I'm gonna have way more notes on corrections and things that I felt like I could have done better throughout the course of the game than the coaching staff gave me at, you know, 100% of the time. So, you know, if we stay like that and we maximize what we do have on our roster, then we could do some special things. So that's what's on my mind at all times, especially coming from, a place like the Packers, where that's
every year
you expecting to do something special like that. You know, obviously 8 years I wasn't able to get one, but you know, we had some really successful seasons and we did things. It just wasn't able to get it done in some of those critical moments. But you know what's on my mind, so that's what I'm here for. I ain't come here just to be cute and hang out with Derek and do all of that. Like, I wanna get that trophy, you know, at the end of the year.
So you have Coach Josh McDaniels here, and you know, he's championship caliber coach, long tenure, you know, offensive coordinator there in New England. Have you guys established a Raiders way here, much like what they had in New England?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been a part of the Patriots organization, obviously, but I would imagine that it's a lot, in all the good ways, like it's got to be a lot of, you know, what he's learned there, you know, as far as the discipline. And he went from probably the most disciplined team to, you know, on quote unquote, one of the most undisciplined teams, you know, based off of some of the things that have happened. And, you know, I'm not afraid to say it. Like, I'm a proud Raider, but it's been some crazy stuff that went on, you know, especially within the past few years here. Yeah. So, you know, he definitely is, I would say hard on us, but he's the way that he should be when you're dealing with a lot of, you know, younger guys. It's not, we don't have the most experienced team in the world. So he's doing a lot of things, and I love Josh, man. I'm telling you that right now. I even tell him, I texted him the other day, I said, I've really been enjoying you, man. Like, just having you around and your leadership, the way you lead men is impressive to me. You know, I've had a couple different coaches, and I've had, you know, Matt LaFleur, who was a lot of the same and extremely talented in a workhorse. But Josh is one of those guys that you can tell that he was a sponge, you know, being the offensive coordinator that whole time. And obviously he had a shot at it before and it didn't go, I'm sure, the way he would have hoped. But I've really been enjoying him and his staff too. They get it and they understand how to deal with guys like me, you know, just cause, you know, and when I say that, I mean, you know, he was talking about, I'm not a diva, but I'm, at the end of the day, I've experienced a lot and I've learned from a lot of dudes who know what they're talking about. So at the end of the day, I feel like my feedback is valuable. So when I go and talk to him about certain routes or, you know, things, the way that I want to run certain things, the way he's open and receptive to it makes it, you know, easy to come to work every day.
But and to that point, like, being that number one guy, being, like you said, what do you say, 141,
mm-hmm.
2756,
correct,
whatever,
yeah.
Like, in a game, bro, do you ever be like, bitch, throw me the ball? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you number one, they sing covering me, bitch, throw me the ball. Like, I don't care what your plan is or what your scheme is, throw me the rock.
Well, I like to think that my quarterback's on the same thing. I mean, Derek do that in practice now. Like, I don't even have to say that. Like, I try to show it enough. Like, I get my confidence the way that I do.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
out there at practice. Like, I'd get the game look every time I get a rep. Like, I'm never just going to go run a route and lollygag. Like, you're going to get to work every single time we line up. Like, that's just how it is. Like, yeah. I'm expecting and hoping that I'm going to murder you every play, but that ain't the reality of it. But I'm going to set out to do just that. I'm trying to chop your head off every single time we line up to show the quarterback, like, there's no other option. If we are all singled up, I'm the guy that need the ball. Like, that's the mentality. And if I don't, I'm coming to a place where everybody can really win on any. If Hunter's singled up, yeah. I know Hunter going to win that. And if Darren's singled up, Darren might go and score. You know what I'm saying? Like, based off some of the matchups he's dealing with. So, and me,
that's real.
That's real. So, and that's what fired me up. And really, it's more than that. Get deeper. Like, we got a lot of dudes that's on the same type of time. So, for me, like I said, every time I line up, like, even today I had one. I ended up getting double. But Derek, as soon as he called goal line phase, he said, "Hey, go get it." I'm like, you ain't had to say that, but I appreciate it. At least I know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At least I know.
Yeah.
What's that reunion been like? You know, did you guys have, like, some special chemistry back at Fresno?
Absolutely.
Like, some special signals, eye contact?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what's the relationship?
We had, because everything in the Fresno offense was basically signals. Like, we was on the ball. I think Oregon was the only team that was faster than us, like, had more plays run throughout a game. So, everything was signals. So, it got to the point where he'd be, "Hey, Tay, look over." And, by the way, Derek started Tay. I don't know. People don't really know that, so I'm gonna let everybody know.
Oh, wow.
Tay, everybody called me D Money, like, growing up. Like, that's what it was. It was more D. He started that, so he'd look out, "Tay," and he'd be like, and I'd know just based off coverage. We got zero. That ain't a signal. He'd look over like, "Hey,"
right.
And I'm like, I might have a slant fade right now. Throw it, beat him off the line, and that's really where the releases started, and people starting to give me like that crown of being able to, you know what I'm saying, get off the line of scrimmage was that. It was a lot of situations where I got to win now, especially like I go to Green Bay and I'm playing with dudes like Jordy and Randall. I got to show Aaron, if he look over there, he ready to get this ball right now. So that's why I just started saucing dudes and doing that. But it really started at Fresno, look over and get that look from Derek, like something like that. And then I know I'm up at the sideline.
Do you know before the snap? Because that's one thing, the release. It's funny you brought it up. The release, like, that's what all on Twitter, Instagram, all the videos about you yapping them at the line.
Yeah.
Is it premeditated, or do you just
never
ball?
I got a plan every time I get up to the line based off of what you're doing, and I put my Terminator mask on. And if you right here in front of me, I drop down a scroll, three ideas of something that I want to do based off of, and this is pre-snap. So that's when the plan B kick in based off what you do. Because, you know, I come off and I got the patented, you know what I'm saying, I skip off and kind of hop off the ball.
Yeah.
But it's really an illusion, and I could talk about it. I could talk about it all day, because at the end of the day, it's about the presentation. Like, if you in front of me and I make you feel like I really want to get inside and I really show you everything that looks like I'm getting inside, you got to respect that. And if you don't, I'm going to go inside and I'm going to figure out a way to go do it. You know what I'm saying? So it's really about the route discipline. And I get up there, like I said, I scroll down, three ideas of something I want to do. You right in my face. You playing soft shoe press and you about 2 yards off. Boom, I got three for that. You off 5 yards and you squatting on me, I got three for that. I'm gonna get up to you. It's all about just killing that space and attacking, making DBs uncomfortable. And then now it's real life. It ain't about them drills you did, them backpedal drills you going and doing your 45. All of that is out the window when 1-7 running full speed at you, and I'm gonna get this close before I make a move. And then it might be a plan B, but I'm gonna make it look like play one.
Hey, like, that was crazy. First off, I'm gonna be honest, I've actually never heard you talk this much, right? And I'm just being straight up.
Y'all get me fired up, man.
Dog, you know, and we talked about you hooping. Like, a lot of what we see, it almost looks like you got a basketball in your hand, you know what I'm saying? Being able to lean a guy this way and come back. And I coach DBs, and so we talk about it in different things, but you now get the matchup every week, right? It's either you're gonna get the matchup of the guy when they have a top five guy or a guy they think is elite, or you're going to get the shaded coverage. You're going to get the shaded safety. You're going to get the double to your side. The competition of that, knowing that you've played yourself into that role every week you're facing an opponent, what does that do for you?
I mean, that fired me up too, you know, just knowing that. And it raised my level of play, because at the end of the day, it's going to be a lot of teams that just say, you know, we're gonna try to just let these other dudes do what they do. Like, we're gonna make them beat us. We're not gonna let 1-7. But if I just fall into that and say, all right, I'm gonna just take the double every time, which helps the team. But if I don't win, then I ain't getting the ball. So at the end of the day, regardless if I'm getting doubled, if I'm getting a best guy or whatever, I got to go win in the same way I would win or I would be expected to win if I was singled up, just because I need that pill at the end of the day. So if I get two people on me or if I get clouded or whatever, I got to find a way to go, you know, make myself a good target for my quarterback.
Hey, 1-7, we know you got meetings, man, so we're going to let you go. Why 17?
Why 17?
Yeah, why 17?
As the best or the why the
why'd you choose the number?
Keep it real, I wanted 15, but I went to the Packers and Bart Starr was 15 there, so obviously you couldn't get that. And I'm not a big 80s number guy. Not for me. I'm part of the younger generation, I guess. Still old soul, but I'm part of the younger generation. So 17 was the next best one, and I was thinking like, who is the coldest to ever wear 17, like, and really make a name? And then, you know, some guys that you respect, but I was like, it ain't really nobody that really, really did it at the level that I feel like I can do it. So I'm gonna just turn it into something. And then you see, it's a lot of 17s out there people wearing now, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I didn't really see it before I started, you know what I'm saying, doing what I'm doing, so.
He'll kill me if I don't give him a shout out. Plexico Burris, 117.
100%. And I'm saying, like, you know what I mean? And that's no disrespect to nobody.
For
it's,
sure.
It's just a lot
For
of sure. It's a lot of dudes that wore it and got it in. But yeah, like I said, to the level that I'm looking at,
right,
you know what I mean? As far as, like, we talked about that hall, I could be wrong, but I don't know if it's anybody that wore 17 that's in that hall.
I will say this. The only number 17 that I remember is – that I truly remember is Doug Williams, because he's the first black quarterback to win a Super Bowl. He's from Louisiana, man. Listen, I'm going to be honest, bro. We got to run it back, because we didn't have enough time to really get it, man. We love to run it back. But thank you for your time, dog. We understand what this time is like in the middle of training camp for you. So yeah, we appreciate you, man. Keep balling.
Of course,
we
bro.
See you soon, boy.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, my boy.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
What do you
think,
man?
Answer
my question.
No, hey.
I want to see what shit, what 140 million.
Big respect, bro.
Appreciate it.
Take
for
a picture.
Sure. Oh. Yes, sir. Yeah, we could definitely do this again. I ain't going to be on ESPN talking the way that I talk with y'all. You know,
yeah, man. Right. You want to take the picture real quick? What you want to take? So you got to go.
Yeah.
Hey, we started talking that talk about the releases, though. I was getting fired up.
That's it.
I love that part.
I love that part.
When I start talking about that shit, like, that's, you know, I'm about the details, so that's when I really get the feeling it, you know what I mean?
When you hit the Terminator mask, though.
No, yeah. It's funny.
That's how it is. And you can visualize it, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
you know what I'm
saying? 100%, bro. Yeah. No, that's the shit.
These running backs got to be so f***ing happy, boy.
I'm telling
Cover
you, bro.
Two. Let's get it.
Light box.
Let's get it. Let's go.
But that's the thing, too.
They ain't got a chance.
They like, Josh always was a matchup guy. Like, every week he changed you. I think about that. Every play, he got that.
Yeah.
If Devontae got it, Darren got it, Hunter got it, you know what I'm saying? You can run it.
And I'm moving around like crazy, bro. Like, this learning shit, like, it feel like college again, because this offense is, like, got to be the most complex in the league.
Everybody that went to New England would say that, bro.
It was like 11, 12 empty sets.
So I'm damn near unlearning a bunch of shit.
Right.
And then, you know what I'm saying?
I was in it for 2 years up there, bro. It is ridiculous.
It is.
But you're everywhere.
Yeah.
And the concepts are crazy.
But they good, though.
When Chad went to New England, we were talking in the middle of the field, we were playing New England. He's like, RC, it's just so different from anything I've ever done.
It is.
You know what I mean?
Nah, it's a beast, and it's not for, like, they can't just bring just talent in here. You got to be talented and smart.
Right.
Otherwise, like, especially if it's, like, late, if they bring somebody in right now,
right,
you got to be a genius to catch on and be, you know what I'm saying? Especially, like, and they give me more leeway, and I pride myself on being, like really my football acumen is, like, one of my, like, best traits. So. Right. When it comes to like learning it, and I study it, you know what I mean? Just because I'm not gonna be the one that's out there
right,
looking crazy.
Yeah. Right.
So when I get out there, like if I do mess something up, they do understand because I have to learn that every single spot.
Mm-hmm.
Like most dudes is just playing X or whatever, so you just learn the X. But I know every single spot, and then the formations is crazy because they got a formation name, and then they got a code words for every single formation.
Quick, hurry up,
bro!
It's ridiculous, though.
Every single
the
formation.
Hot read, gotta, the snaps, breaking off routes. This shit is crazy, man.
Yeah, sight adjust.
For you, though,
you
got to move, though, because every week, if I'm game planning, I'm trying to figure out where you are.
Right.
Right? And so now if we know, all right, third and medium, you know, he's here and empty, this is what we're going to play.
Right.
But the
right.
fact that you can play each spot, not a coach guessing, and like you said, then if Darren get the match up, it could be six. You know what I'm saying? So that's dope, man.
Hell yeah. We're going to get it in,
tough cover.
Man, get to your meet, man. We appreciate you, though, bro. I don't want to make you late, though.
Yeah. Appreciate you, bro.
Bro. We just talking that shit all day.
I know, if I'm saying, if he's late,
we good. We good. What time we got? Oh, yeah, we good.
All right.
Appreciate y'all.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, bro.
Hold up. Limitless. Take a stomach cap, pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling got me up. On the mission got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. On the vision, I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Take a stomach cap pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling got me up. On the mission got me up.